The following show is dedicated to Mia Park and Barbara Yang. The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson. And this morning, I've got some great guests. Diana Yezzi, who is the owner of Integrated Staffing, and Everett Noakes, who runs a business and is also involved in some political races, although this isn't a political show. You know, he's going to give us some insights on what he does in that aspect. So, you know, we're going to do Diana first with Integrated Staffing. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Can't complain. I love being on your show.
I'm glad because it's great having you on the show. You know that. And let's get into introduction. And why don't you tell us about you, about yourself?
So I am the president and owner of Integrated Staffing. Integrated Staffing, I come back every April to see you because we do all of the staffing for the Saratoga Race Course.
Correct.
And I'm always looking for new talent for the Saratoga Race Course, for the Belmont Racing Stakes Festival, and for the 4th of July meet. And so I love to come on here during the April months just to make sure that all of your listeners know that we are doing a lot of hiring.
And you basically are the main contact or the main source of hiring people for various positions at the racetrack. This is supposed to be the last year for the Belmont and the 4th of July, although one never knows. It seems like NYRA wants to be in the area more and more. But anyway, I think the Belmont Park will be open come the maybe after Saratoga season or in the fall anyway. They'll probably go back to Aqueduct if it's not.
I think they're going to be, they're looking at September.
Oh, they are opening in September.
Yeah, that's what it, from what I understand.
Okay, so, well, I know they have an offer to host the Breeders' Cup in 27 with the stipulation that they run the rest of this year. So they have to open in September to qualify to host the Breeders' Cup, I think. That's what I read like a year ago. So, you know, I could be mistaken. I'm not up on that.
Yeah, me neither. You know? I don't know the inner workings.
Right. Who knows the inner workings of NYRA? And I work there in the summer and I haven't got a clue. So, anyway, tell us a little bit about how you decided you wanted to open a business like Integrated.
Absolutely. So we've been open since 2009.
Okay.
I have been in the staffing industry for a very long time, longer than I want to admit. And
nah, come on, you're only 32.
Thanks, Rick. So we've work with a lot of different organizations outside of NYRA. We do New York State OGS, we do Target Corporation, and New York State Energy Research Development Association. So as a result, we really do have a lot of different clients that we place at. So even though I'm here ostensibly for NYRA, I do I like to have the caveat that there's a lot of other jobs available right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it tough to get enough people to fill the jobs that employers are looking to hire? Because I know they say the job market is tough because there's so many jobs opening and there's a lot of people don't want to work. Do you find that or no?
It's really, I think people come to us for those positions that they're having a hard time filling on their own.
Okay.
And it's something that we're very good at. So we don't have, we have right now, it's a very good even split between candidates and clients and jobs. I think that's going to change. Unemployment is at, I want to say, 4.2% right now. I'm wondering how the summer is going to look across the board for unemployment. But right now, we've been pretty good. We've had a pretty even jobs to employee ratio.
Yeah, I would think that it's going to get better, hopefully. Although, do you find that the introduction of more tech, I don't know what you want to call it, tech jobs, I mean, you go into McDonald's now and you order through a machine, so that eliminates a person. Or you go into the grocery store and they have all these self-checkout counters, and that eliminates people. And I know it's good for the company because they don't have to spend so much in for employees and benefits, but it kind of hurts, I think, it kind of hurts the job market because these, and I don't want to call them low-level job, but some of them are entry-level jobs. And it kind of eliminates those for kids that want to work. I don't know. Do you find that or no?
I haven't seen it yet. And it's funny because I was reading about, you know, over the course of the last 100 years, and, you know, computers came in. Oh, it's going to take away jobs. And mm-hmm. before that, like the Singer sewing machine. Oh, it's going to take away jobs. The telephone is going to take away jobs.
Right.
I think that we're pretty resilient. So I think that AI right now is kind of the buzzword, and I do think it's going to change career trajectories. Knock on wood, I'm hoping that it doesn't eliminate a bunch of different jobs.
Well, exactly.
It's so preliminary right now. I'm not sure we know what's going to happen. I haven't seen it yet. I really have not seen where I've received a call that said, hey, we've decided to automate this role. That could happen, though. I don't.
Oh yeah, you talk about AI. You know, it's changing everything so fast. Have you ever seen the movie The Terminator?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was AI gone wacky, because, I read an article where there was a computer tech guy like Bill Gates, but it wasn't Bill Gates. And he said AI is learning things itself. And that, in a way, it's kind of scary that you can get machines to learn things and perform better, which in a way is good if we can harness that and use it to our advantage, like in your business, you know, to use AI programs and that. But I would think it makes some of your programs that you can offer a little bit easier, too.
Absolutely. And we have AI'd probably about 25-30% of our company. So in terms of people applying online, answers are AI-driven. Our resume searches are AI-driven. What's really nice is that we also have a staff of 8 who are reviewing personally as well. I still don't trust AI. So.
No, I know. It's kind of spooky in a way, especially what it can do personally to people. Or, I mean, let's face it, kids today are so tech savvy, it's scary. I mean, they know everything. I mean, this friend of mine that I took care of, you know, she's a senior at Skidmore now, but she could do more with her iPhone than I was just amazed at the things she could do. If I needed help on something, in like 1 minute, she had something out for me to do because on her phone. I mean, you know, they type so blooming fast, and it's amazing what you can do, and it's amazing how they can use AI to do anything. You know,
it really is. It's I think a game changer, and you have to kind of be looking forward, and what the next year or 2 years is going to look like.
Yeah, well, I think even without AI, the advancements in computer world advances so much. I mean, look at cell phones. I mean, when I was growing up, you had a dime in your pocket, and they had a payphone on the corner, and that's where Superman used to change. But if you ever needed to call your parents, you went in there and threw your dime in. And we progressed to the point where, all right, cell phones came out, and not everybody could afford one. to the point where today they're almost like a computer in your hand. You can find anything, and you can do anything on a cell phone today. So the progression today is faster than it was maybe from the 1800s to the 1990s, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We just redid our website, and our big focus was how does it look on a cell phone?
Really?
Yeah, we had to really spend a huge amount of time on exactly what the functionality is when you're looking on it on a smaller screen.
Yeah. See, I have a website, SaratogaBroadcasting.com, that I upload all my shows on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when you go on there on the cell phone, you don't get the whole picture. You know, you got to move it a little bit or whatever to get to the drop-down menu. And so it's got to be, you must have had to go through quite a bit.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we were kind of going back and forth and back and forth. Okay, wait a second. And then we'd have, you know, somebody who was on their Galaxy look at it.
Yeah.
Somebody was on their Samsung. Somebody was on their iPhone. And so just to make sure that the functionality translated really well onto your cell
phone,
too. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
It really is.
It was an interesting way of being open for 17 years. You started out with just a website, not thinking about
On anything else but a large computer screen, then down to a laptop, and now down to a cell phone. Of course, some of the cell phones are quite large, the screen. But then you need a satchel to carry it around with, and, you know, I don't think man purses, I don't go for them. But anyway.
I like them.
Yeah. No, I know. It just reminds me of a Seinfeld episode with Kramer, and I just don't want to go there. But anyway, you also do, and we'll tie this in with your nephew in a bit, you also do government contracting, don't you?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and how you got into that and what's involved in that?
Absolutely. So we actually have the New York State OGS contract, so we supply administrative support, accountants. We have a lot of different categories down in Albany. We also have the state of Kansas government contract to supply Kansas State with administrative support, clerical support. We also have City University of New York. So we do all of their IT support. And we also have a Florida government contract as well. The RFPs to get into government work is extensive, but absolutely worth it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
The work they have to do to get you on board. I work for a small company. I mean, it's big in the bus world, but it's a small company employee-wise. And it's mainly for retired people like myself to drive school bus because you work 3 hours in the morning and then 3 hours in the afternoon. You know, so there's a lot of time in between. That's good for us because if we have to make doctor's appointments or appointments, you got time. Is that something that you could... I always wondered why they haven't checked into... Because bus drivers are in such demand. Why they haven't checked into using a company like yours. Is that something that you could do?
It's feasible. The liability, like the insurance coverage for bus drivers and for transporting vulnerable adults or children is really high.
Yeah,
and
I
so
know.
It's
he pays
just,
a lot of insurance.
Yeah.
Insurance.
So you have to, like, that's got to, I think, be a really driving focus or not. It's kind of hard to have it, you know, both ways. So it's just something that we've found is not cost effective for us. But if you're a small business and that's your only focus, I would think that would be amazing. Just doesn't really work.
Right. Well, I can understand. I think that's part of the problem because there's only, I think, four insurance companies in the country that insure transportation of buses or charter buses.
Wow.
Like he has. So I can see where that would be a little difficult. Yeah. It's like you'd only have a couple insurance companies to deal with, and then there's always problems that come up, and yeah, I can see that. I just thought maybe to get employees that would be a good outlet for that.
And can you imagine if there's only four insurance companies, the fact that their rates, you're almost in a monopoly.
Oh, sure,
so
you are.
So your rates are probably so high anyway. That's amazing. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and I mean, any incident that you have has to go through, and then, of course, your rates go up. So when you're looking at, you know, maybe 30 charter buses that can hold 55 people that go to trips to Yankee Stadium or Salem in the fall for 2 days or 3-4 overnight trips, I mean, it can get expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, I was just, you know, asking what is the best outlook for you on job seekers or employers looking to hire employees?
I think that you're going to find that there's going to be a lot of employees available. I think third, fourth Q, you're going to see that the market will be a little bit saturated. I think we'll get through the busy summer season, and then you'll start to kind of see a little bit of a level off.
Right.
Is my anticipation.
You know, I whenever I'm told or talk to some young people, and they're kind of, and Everett may, I don't know how you feel about this, I always tell them they're not really, they know they're not going to make it in college if they go to a four-year college. So I always tell them, take a trade when you're in high school. Take advantage of BOCES. Learn a trade. When you come out, you have something to fall back on in your life. I mean, we found that out with COVID when people needed electricians or plumbers and they couldn't get them fast enough. And because, you know, if you waste the money to go to college and you come out and you don't know any more than you did when you went in, what a waste of life and money, you know. And today it's not cheap to go into to college. Do you work with tradespeople?
We do, actually. So, and we work with entry level like Target Corporation as well. But we do work with tradespeople. We'll get people in that have a specific trade, and we'll be able to work with some unions or try to find them roles. So, yeah.
Okay. And do you find, just jumping back to Naira for a little bit, do you find that, excuse me, do you find that the need for employees is increasing, or is it a little more difficult to find people to fill the slots? I know you deal with a lot of students and educators that have the summer off. And I know a lot of the kids, when they go to college, they kind of leave you in a lurch, you know. But is that who you deal mainly with Naira?
It is. We did, so we just had a job fair on Monday at the Embassy Suites here in Saratoga, and we received a lot of candidates who are retirees, which is
okay.
Great, because that way they aren't leaving for college around, you know, August 20th or so.
Correct.
So we had a lot of retirees this year, which is great. I think it is a big draw because it is the last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people are, you know, the last year for Belmont, and you know, so people are kind of excited.
I think so.
Yeah.
I know probably the first year you had a big influx because people wanted to see the Belmont firsthand that couldn't get down to New York. You know?
Yes.
I mean, that's, I don't know.
Our Belmont job fair that year, we had like 800 people through the door.
You
it
know,
was crazy.
You probably don't remember because you deal with so much of this, and this was 2 years ago. But a friend of mine from Gloversville wanted a job for the summer, and my voice is changing to more mature, so if I go up high, that's what. And he wanted a job for the summer, but he wanted Belmont because he wanted to see the Belmont race and not watch it on TV. And, you know, for 2 years he's worked, and he enjoys it. You know.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
okay.
I do.
Well, I
yeah.
came over and introduced
yes,
you to him
yeah.
and that. I grew up with him. He's a year older than me. I grew up with him. He lived a couple houses down. And matter of fact, his cousin, who was a couple years behind me, our parents were good friends, Donna, she started working last year, and she loved it, too. And I think once you're up there and working for the summer, you really get to enjoy it. It's a nice atmosphere. You meet a lot of nice people. And
everybody loves the team.
Yeah.
Like everybody says that they just enjoy who they work with. They come back year after year. And they just, you know, that's really what makes working at the track fun.
Well, and I think that's a reflection on Integrated, too. You have a lot of nice people working for you. And, I mean, you and Peter are great also. And I think people know that. And Matt, of course, he's, you know, he's a great guy. But I think you, overall, you have a great working relationship with your employees, and they know they can come to you with any problem or anything. And it's a win-win, you know. So yeah, thank you for what you do up there, because I don't think, if it wasn't for you, I don't think it would run as smooth, actually.
Oh,
you know?
Thank you. Yeah.
And you even got two great people in Barbara
I think Connie.
Connie,
yeah,
you know, running the morning show and getting them out. So it's a great, well-oiled team you have up there. You
We've
know.
Had the contract for 11 years, so if we don't know what we're doing by now, something's wrong.
Something's wrong, yeah. Well, everything's run smooth, so you're not doing anything wrong at all. Well, we're going to jump off of Integrated for a little while, and we'll get back because... you know, I want to talk a little bit more about the business and, you know, branching off of NYRA and other businesses that you supply a lot of people to. And I want to introduce Everett Noakes. Good morning, Everett.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Great. Happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here. It's good to see a nephew of Diana's. So... tell me, give us a little bit of your history.
So I started out, thank you. So I started out 5 or 6 years ago. I was very involved in the Boy Scouts of America before I became pretty involved in the track summer after summer. And it's been about 4 or 5 years. I've been happy to be coming back there. I started off my education at SUNY Adirondack. I got an associate's there. And I moved down since to the University of Albany and graduate this semester before law school. So in that time, I was a supervisor at UPS for just over 4 years. And I worked for Congresswoman Elise Stefanik for a little while. I did some time down in D.C., came back, and before I became a little bit more involved here politically, locally, and that's been able to help with some of my involvement with the track and with the city here, certainly, and with some of the neighboring counties.
Okay. And I always, I'm not a one-sided political person. I'm an independent. You know, I feel there's good and bad on both sides. I mean, you know, you have effective leadership on both sides. But I always admired... you know, Ms. Stefanik. She's a really neat person, and she got things done in New York. And she represented the North Country pretty well, you know. Now, did you say that you are handling or involved in the person that's running for her spot? I mean, you have a primary, correct?
So, yeah, so they have a primary right now between a business owner from Amsterdam and a current assemblyman within the district to replace the congresswoman.
Anybody from up north?
So, yeah, so Assemblyman Rob Smullen represents several counties within that district of New York 21.
He's in Johnstown, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I grew up. That's
oh,
where
nice,
I grew up,
nice.
So I know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's his father, his uncle, or what, but was a county supervisor from MECO area for I don't know how many
years.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's been pretty well established out there. I would place bets on the fact that he would be the next congressman for that area. At one point, I want to say before redistricting, it was the largest geographic congressional district east of the Mississippi within the U.S. So, you know, it is certainly hard to campaign with that area, especially since if you're a sitting state legislative member, you have to have that commute down to Albany every day. But, you know, at one point that did encompass more of our county here in Saratoga. Now it only encompasses some towns in the northern part of the county. But the culture surrounding the district is so much different than, you know, I call a lot of congressional districts, I call fly-in districts, where you see people sort of move there and then they, you know, they get elected to Congress there within a few years thereafter moving. But we have a really special culture in the North Country here. And, you know, it takes hours to get across the current New York 21 district. But I think, you know, this greater city of Saratoga area and surrounding towns is such a, you know, important part of that district. And that's, of course, intertwined with, you know, New York 20 down here. But the, you know, the amount of business and the people who know of the area because of the track too, just connect, you know, tying that back is amazing.
Now, are we in that district, or are we just below that in Saratoga?
So the city of Saratoga is not. That's currently in Congressman Tonko's district in New York 20.
Okay.
You know, some of those surrounding towns are still within, you know, Greenfield, Corinth, they're still within New York 21. I worked briefly for the IRC, the Independent Redistricting Commission, in which they redistrict. It's usually every 10 years, but there's sometimes some exceptions. They like to redraw the congressional maps based off of, you know, similarities. So you wouldn't, just like you wouldn't have a part of New York City within, you know, the Catskill region of a congressional district, because
right.
the population, the demographic, the, you know, just the social norms is much different. So,
well, yeah. And I mean, I think it's true. Half the population of the state lives down a pat from Westchester
south.
Down.
Yes.
And I mean, a friend of mine, I haven't seen in years. I don't know if he's still in the area or not, but he used to work for the state and retired. And there was one election, I don't know, I can't remember, or for governor, I think. And I said, you know, it's amazing to me that a person can run for governor of New York State, lose 50 some counties of the state. What are there, 56 counties?
I believe it's 62.
All right, 62. You can lose 56 counties mm-hmm. of New York State and still win by 3 million votes.
Yes.
And he said to me, well, people vote, trees don't.
Yes.
And I think that just, you know, boosts the theory that so much of New York population lives in a concentrated area. And we have the rest of the state up here. I mean, that, you know, you have less than half the state's population living in.
Yeah, and, you know, you're correct. There's most of the counties are upstate, and I think the population is about half and half. And you look back at, there's a very good friend of mine, former Congressman Mark Molinaro, ran for governor there in 2018. And you see him and the current EPA administrator, Lee Zeldin, you know, when he ran, he won, I want to say it was like 57 or 56 of the counties. So,
mm-hmm.
And that includes, you know, his counties downstate that he was able to carry. But, you know, the voter turnout based off of the year and, you know, who's at the top of the ticket and, you know, those driving issues, there was one or two issues that really hurt Lee, even though, you know, he came closer than anybody in years.
Right.
You know, I thought we did have a good chance. We've typically ran someone downstate against, you know, former Governor Cuomo and Governor Hochul. You know, and I did think the strategy of having Congresswoman Stefanik run from up here would have, you know, drawn out a lot of those people that maybe are disincentivized to vote from up here because they realize exactly what you just said.
Yeah. And it may have gotten more people downstate also to vote that don't get out to vote. Because, I mean, sometimes you get into that rut where, why should I vote? Because they're going to win $5 million or 5 million votes anyway.
Yes.
So, and that's not a good attitude to have. I believe you should vote whenever you get a chance. And, you know, I'll give you an example. I voted. The first time I voted, right, I was living in Gloversville then, and my father was a councilman, and they had two councilmen for each district.
Yes.
So there was somebody running, a friend of my father's, and so I wanted to vote for him. Well, I got in the voting booth, and I was so nervous when I pulled that lever and the curtain closed, and it was the first time I had ever been in a voting booth. And I got so nervous, I'm looking, you know, at the slate and all this stuff, and the person outside the voting booth said, "Are you done? Are you done? Have you made a choice?" Which made me more nervous, because as a kid, I was a nervous twit anyway. I didn't vote. Well, the person that ran against the friend of my father's won by one vote.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that every vote counts and how important it is to vote. And that's a right we have that we shouldn't give up, mm-hmm. you know. So I would always say to people, just vote for whoever you want. But just get out there and fill out that form now and stay within the lines. How does it look in the North Country this year, from your perspective?
Yes, yeah, so there's, there's plenty of different races going on. I'm managing one here that includes part of the North Country and Saratoga, Warren, and Washington County. It's Alan Caruso's race for State Assembly in the 113th. I'm doing a little bit of work down in former Congressman and former Governor candidate Mark Molinaro down. Is making a comeback for Assembly, in which he should do very good down in some of the Catskill, Hudson Valley region. Mm-hmm. We're looking to do some work on the race to replace Congresswoman Stefanik. That'll be a grave loss, I think, for our state and just the powerhouse in which she incentivized, folks in the party to come out and not only vote, but be active and affiliated with committees and the party. Right. Was crazy. We haven't seen that here before. I don't think there's anybody in the Northeast that can match that. But, we have a really interesting race. I think people to replace her in that seat, at least. I think people usually err on the side of, reason. And I think Assemblyman Smullen is going to be a great choice to replace the congresswoman, and he's heading a really good race up there.
Good, I'm glad. And like you said, I mean, Warren, Washington, and the part of Saratoga County, that's a huge area. And I go to Queensbury every day with my bus run, and there's a special needs school up there that we take kids from down here up there. And just driving through there, it's a pretty neat area, but it's a lot of territory, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And so within our race in the 113th, it goes from Round Lake up to the city of Glens Falls, encompasses the city, and it goes out to Greenwich, Hudson Falls, Fort Edward. So the culture is definitely district different, depending on where you are in the district. There's a slight Republican voter registration advantage within that within the 113th. But, it's really cool to crisscross that district because we have a great candidate who's a business owner here in Saratoga, Alan Caruso. And, I really love to see those different cultures. And, can go, it includes downtown Saratoga, which is vastly different from, Greenwich and some of the farming communities out there, or the, blue-collar workers up in Glens Falls and up in Hudson Falls. So, that's going to shape up to be a great race, too.
Oh, yeah. I've been one of the kids that I got close to, another student. I had a chance in some of the work that I did to get to know Skidmore students from transporting them to various to their class at their horse barn. So I got to be got close to five kids, and four of them, well, three of them have graduated, and I keep in touch with the one from Hawaii and the one from Maine, and then two of them are still going to school, Barbara here from China, and there's a girl, Rachel from China, that is at Dartmouth as a Skidmore senior, and I visit her quite often, and it's amazing going through, you know, to get over to New Hampshire and you drive through a lot of the rural area and the sure. districts you're talking about. It's beautiful. And like you said, there's different climates, different cultures. And it's got to be neat to be involved in the people in those areas.
Definitely. Know? Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the state of Vermont. They vote. It's weird because the political cultures in the Northeast, I think, is different than vastly different than anywhere else in the U.S. And when you look at Vermont, and I know we have a lot of students here from Vermont, they vote overwhelmingly for a Republican governor. Yet they vote one of the most heavily Democrat voting states when it comes to national elections. You look at Senator Bernie Sanders and just presidential cycles. So. There's obviously, you know, a difference in voters being incentivized to vote on different issues and whatnot. So I always love to look at, you know, their state's politics, too. And New Hampshire's a little similar in that way.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Vermont, and it always amazes me how they elect a Republican governor, and then someone is like Bernie Sanders, who basically, I mean, I'm nothing against them. But he's more socialist than the normal, politicians in the country. But it just seems like a vast difference when you go in the voting booth and select a Republican governor, and then you go down and...
Yeah.
But that's diversity, and I guess that's good. You know, you don't want to... I really don't like just flipping the switches on one row without thinking about things. So I know you wish... They would, but
well, I think it's very important to look at the candidate and not just necessarily always vote across, you know, your party's line blindly.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, he's officially an independent, and you know, I think it's there's something to be said when 70% votes for a Republican governor, and you know, perhaps close to the same 70% also voting for, you know, the senator there in that state particularly, but. I think there's a lot of voters that maybe err on certain issues nationally and different issues on the state level. So, and I think there's something to be said about the population there in terms of not just voting blindly,
right?
You know, across.
And you know, I mean, when you vote, like when you elect someone from the city to represent you, you're looking for what's going to be best for the city, not what party the person belongs to. And when you go to the for a state office, you're looking for a candidate that's going to represent our district the best way. Nationally, I think that's when more politics comes in, as far as not caring who's running. I mean, you know. But in any case, that's you got a good job, long-time job out of you. I mean, you must travel a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a fun business to be in, and you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
But it changes every day, so yeah. That's what makes it fun.
Now, you were involved in managing a Supreme Court race last year, weren't you?
Yeah. So last year, we have a current judge, and you know, the state's divided up into JDs, judicial districts, and we have a awesome fourth JD, which encompasses Schenectady and Saratoga County, all the way up to St. Lawrence, Clinton, Essex, Franklin, Herkimer. You know, I think it's about 13 counties. So I manage Judge Chris Obstarczyk's race, who's right from right here in downtown Saratoga, So. I managed his race, and we had a great time traveling across the district. And, you know, the good thing about those jobs is once they get elected, it's to a 14-year term. So
okay,
they don't
right.
have to worry about campaigning again, and they can focus on that important role.
And, you know, that's good in a way that because you've got an impartial person in that position, and you want them to be there for a long period of time so they don't get influenced by outside donors because they have to win elections
again,
all the
yeah.
time, yeah, and run again. So I think that's important in that position to have a long term, because I'm a big believer in term limits. But that's another topic. Let's talk about Atlas Strategic Services. I think you have a hand in that, don't you?
Sure, yes. So this was something I started just last year because, you know, I saw the importance of the business and whatnot, and, you know, it sort of exploded over the winter. I was able to pick up some involvement down in Palm Beach County and down in Miami-Dade County remotely, and some local races. Of course, my priority is going to be this New York 113 assembly race. It is a very winnable race that, you know, we've put a ton of effort into already, and I do think people are going to be very incentivized to come out to vote, and I think we're going to flip this seat. You know, people are eager for change here, but we see this, you know, there's something to be said about the political climate. I think there's a lot of business that's on the left on the table for people to pursue. So it's something I started last year, and, you know, something I'm becoming more so involved in month after month. So we'll see where it goes.
I think you have a good example to your right on how to get things done the right way. And, you know, can I ask you a question, if you don't mind? You don't have to answer, because
okay.
I can take a guess. But how old are you?
22 this Monday.
22.
Monday.
And it seems like you've got the experience of at least 20 years behind you. I want to commend you for being so involved in what you're doing, because a lot of 22-year-olds wouldn't have this drive or knowledge to do what you're doing, because it's a lot of hard work. And, you know, I want to thank you for being so involved, because you're level-headed. And, you know, it's just great to see a young person, because I was going to guess you were like 25, 20. You don't look at 25, 26 just because of the experience you've had, but it's pretty awesome that you're 22 and so involved and knowledgeable on things.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think people in their 20s in my generation, if I had to say one thing, I think they have to find something they're passionate about, whether that involves a college route. Just, you know, to circle back on what you said before, I think knowing a trade is one of the most valuable things you can do. Even if you are going to be a lawyer or a doctor, I think knowing, mm-hmm. you know, a trade apart from, of course, those skills
sure.
is necessary for everybody. But I think if everybody in my generation picked, you know, found what they're passionate about and really, you know, you could pour in a crazy amount of hours a day into something you're passionate about, and it does not seem like work. So
right.
I think if everybody did that, you know, they would see the ability to achieve much more.
And I think, too, by having that feeling of, you know, putting a lot of time and enjoying what you're doing, you can spread that to other people, too.
Definitely.
You know, you can infect other people with that. Instead of, and I have nothing against protesting and that, but these protests today of we want no king, I think people don't have anything to do in their life, and they just get out to protest instead of trying to do things the right way to get what they mm-hmm. want to achieve and what they're protesting for. You know, I just don't understand that. But in any case, that's
yeah.
their right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a thousand different ways to become involved. And I think you can enact, a single person can go from, you know, having no involvement to joining a committee and being, you know, thoroughly involved and being able to enact change locally. I mean, you're not going to start or stop a movement per se, you know,
right.
immediately. But there's a lot more that you can accomplish by being, you know, level-headed and getting involved in your community rather than, I think, you know, just solely picking up a sign and going out to protest.
Right,
so.
And stopping traffic and yeah. interfering with daily life. But, like I said, that's their right, and God bless them for doing that. But if they gave up, like you said, getting on a committee in their city, that's a start on making things better for everybody. you know, in your area. And I was involved. I never got involved in politics, even though my father was a councilman in my city for 12 years. But I know there were people in the party that wanted me to get involved when I was in my 20s. And I had other things going on in my life then. But I think when I moved up here, I was put on a couple things, different committees, Community Development Block Grant Committee, and I fought for, I was on three different committees to change the form of government, and that was a lot of work, but it made you feel good being involved in trying to help the city. And, you know, we didn't protest. We worked hard, and we probably protested in a way that, you know, in meetings and stuff, but it does make you feel good. And you got a long career ahead of you, and I think the more you get involved, is this what you're planning on doing?
Oh, who knows? It sort of took off the last year or two. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see where it takes me. But it is fun to be able to, you know, set your mind to something, even if it's just, you know, down in your town and being, you know, able to accomplish that and being behind that. So
sure, no, that's great. So what's your involvement in Saratoga Raceway?
So this is like the fun thing I could talk about. So I've been coming back, I think it's like 4 or 5 years now, and it is such a great environment. We mentioned AI earlier. I don't think we have anything to worry about when it comes to AI, when it comes to Saratoga Race Course, because people come there for the environment, and you know, the employees genuinely want to be there. I think there are very few who go there solely for a paycheck. I joke that I would go there and work for free, but I don't like saying
don't
it because
say
then
that.
She'll take my paycheck.
Now you're on,
but I know.
You're on record here.
So there's so many people there, though, that genuinely want to go out of their way to help patrons, you know, associated coming to the track. You know, I did the tours last year. I had some great mentors, and there's people from all you know, walks of life. There's people who have worked, you know, for the city for years, and then there's people who work there who are, you know, distinguished lawyers, or they come in from out of state and they've had, you know, really impressive careers. But everybody is the same and equal at the track there in the summer, and it is so fun to be able to meet folks coming in, you know, it's their first time at the track, or you know, from out of state, out of country even. You know, I've been able to meet so many cool folks from South Korea and Australia, and you know, even celebrities that frequent the track. We have Bobby Flay and Martha Stewart. I love seeing year after year. But there is something to be said about the employee base there, and I hope that I could spend, you know, many more summers there.
Yeah. Well, in my area, I got to be friends with Jason Wirth.
Yes.
And I can't think of the name of the fellow that was a basketball player, Adrian Johnson, I think his name may be, but and Jim Cott over the years, you know him, and I got to be friends with David Cassidy, the singer, before he passed away. And it's like a family reunion when you're up there year after year and you see the same people. You know, it's pretty neat. And anyway, it is a great place to work, and it's a great place for students to work for the summer, because you can come back year after year. Mm-hmm. If you are a good employee, you see Diana every year at the job fair, and it's great. It really is good atmosphere, like you said, good clean atmosphere, and people come from all over the world to visit there. One of the people I got to know pretty well, and we're on Instagram, and we talk every once in a while, he's a sheik from Qatar.
Oh, nice.
Who, yeah, he owns, I think, a stable of 400 horses around the world, not just, he doesn't have them all in Saratoga, but a really great guy. He's probably in his late 30s. And, you know, where else would you get a chance to meet people like that?
Sure.
And a lot of people that you work with, because you make a lot of contacts that you may be able to get a hold of during the year, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything. Yeah.
I was, I think it was 2 years ago, I was happy to meet Tom Brady there.
Okay.
A few months ago, I was down in Garden City visiting some family and friends, and I ran into one of the employees that's a white cap there in the summer. So, and I talked to, you know, maybe two dozen folks from the track that we work with over the summer, and we stay, you know, they, a lot of them are local and work at stores or there's teachers and whatnot, and you run into them during the year. So it's great to see those folks coming back year after year, and they really add such a, they form, everybody who works there is a part of the culture that's formed at the track.
Exactly. There's a bond between between the employees, and it's a good way to network, too. So that's pretty good. Diana, let me get back to you for a little bit. And, I mean, you hire quite a few people and work for quite a few businesses, government agencies. What are some of the positions that government agencies are looking for that you help?
You know, we do a lot of IT, and we also do a lot of engineers. We work with a lot of different SUNY construction funds, and we work with a lot of different government in a lot of different roles, but mainly IT right now is really kind of taken off for us. And to go back, one of the things that we find is that Everett and I are, I'm a registered independent, and so I'm always looking at the candidate that's going to bring business to Saratoga and the candidate that's going to support the Saratoga and the Belmont Racing Stakes Festival. And so obviously everybody has different sides, but Kathy Hochul has done a lot for the racing industry, and it's amazing. It really is. So I think Everett and I might disagree a little bit on that. But Everett has been a great face for us at the track for the last 4 years, and I wanted to bring him in to introduce. And
oh, I'm glad, because now Everett can be a guest on a future show. Let us know what he's up to and things that are going on in the area. So if you don't mind coming back on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, no, that's okay. I'm glad you're here. Diana, what gave you the, we may have talked about this a little bit, you know, in the beginning, but what gave you the drive to start Integrated?
You know, I come from an entrepreneurial family. My grandfather's, one grandfather owned car dealerships. My other grandfather was a doctor. And so entrepreneurship runs in the family, and Everett caught it as well. And so I had been in the industry a long time before I opened my business. I knew kind of it forward and backwards, really good with sales. And so it was kind of a natural progression. And then on the other side of that is the fact that we also have a horse farm where we have some thoroughbreds that run at the race course.
Yes,
so
I know.
It's a full circle of our loving the track and the environment.
Talk a little bit about the horse farm. We have a few minutes left. So we've got a couple minutes left, and then Mike's going to take over. But I know Pete runs the horse farm, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, so it's a 20-acre out in Middle Grove.
Yeah.
And we have a few mares that are due any day now, so that's pretty exciting.
Really?
Yes, yeah. So we keep on, it's like having children. We, in the middle of the night, we get a phone call, and we're like, uh-oh, we've got to run. So last year, my husband pulled a foal, so that was really exciting, on his own. And so it's a lot of fun to have the race course, then have the staffing of the race course, and we are just so in love with the industry. So so right now, we had one last year come in second at Saratoga, and so she'll be running again this year, Amazing Gracer. And so we basically are a vendor for Saratoga, and then we also have a pay into Saratoga.
That's
so
neat.
Like,
now,
full
do
circle.
Board horses also or no?
We have a couple boarders. Okay. We have a it's a smaller farm. It's a 20-acre farm, but we have somebody that runs the farm for us, and she has horses there as well. So that's really nice that you know, we're relatively new to the horse industry, so it's nice to have somebody who's really experienced.
Sure. Is this the time of the year that you foal?
Yes. Okay. So we have one that's not due for like another month and a half, and the chaplaincy, the Saratoga Racecourse Track and chaplaincy, they're like, there's a prize for the latest foal, and I'm like, I'm sure it's going to be ours. I'm sure that she's probably not going to have anything until the end of April. So
It's you know who I had on a couple of weeks ago was Ramon Dominguez.
Oh yes.
And I've got his wife coming on in a little bit, but they do a lot of work with Backstretch, Jim Chaplincy, and he's an awesome person too. I had more fun on that show.
They're absolutely amazing. I love Sharon.
Yeah.
I love Ramon. They're a great couple,
yeah,
and their advocacy for the area, for everything, for the Backstretch workers across the board. I mean, that's one of the things I really like is the fact that they are so they really care about the Backstretch workers. They care about the health of the entire industry. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, and I mean, they grow up with that, because most people that get into horse racing had found that passion early in life, and
mm-hmm.
he was telling us a story, and you know, he started out as a hot walker and groom and stuff, but I'm glad they picked Saratoga to stay in, because they do a lot for the area also, you know, so and I just want to say it's that magic time, and I want to thank you for being here, you two. It's really been a pleasure for me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Rick. Nice to see you again.
And right now...